Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 86. Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra. Text 27-29. We'll just chant 27 because it's more practical. What did you stick that? What are you sticking that on? Just anything, huh? It's not a particularly good spot, that one. I think a piece of blue is probably going to be better. More bright. Tired. Okay, we'll see how we go with it. Chantam apyata tanduraj Janaka swagra Janaka svagrihagatan Aniteshvasanagriyeshu Sukhasinan Mahamanaha Svantanapyata Tanduraj Janakaha Svagraha Grihagatan Aniteshvasanagriyeshu Sukhasinan Mahamanaha. From a distance, Janakaha, King Bahulashva, a descendant of Janaka, Sva, to his Griha, home, Agatan, come, Aniteshu, which were brought out, Asana, on seats. Agriyeshu, excellent. Sukha, comfortably. Asinan, seated. Mahamanaha, very intelligent. I will do the word for the rest of the verses. Pravridha, intense. Bhaktya, with devotion. Udharsha, overjoyed. Hridaya, whose heart? Asra, with tears. Avila, clouded. Ikshanaha, whose eyes? Natva, bowing down. Tat, there. Angrin, feet. Prakshalya, washing. Tat, from that. Apaha, the water. Loka, the whole world. Pavanahi, able to purify. Sa, together. Together with Kutumbaha, his family. Vahan, carrying. Murna, on his head. Pujayam Chakre, he worshipped. Ishvaran, the Lord's. Gandha, with fragrant. Sandalwood paste. Malya. Flower garlands. Ambara. Clothing. Akalpa. Jewelry. Dupa. Incense. Deepa. Lamps. Agya. Agya water. Go. Cows. Vrishai. And bulls. When King Bahalasvara, a descendant of Janaka, saw Lord Krishna approaching his house from a distance with the sages, who were somewhat fatigued from the journey, he immediately arranged to have seats of honour brought out for them. After they were all comfortably seated, the wise king, his heart overflowing with joy, and his eyes clouded by tears, bowed down to them and washed their feet with intense devotion. Taking the wash water which could purify the entire world, he sprinkled it on his head and the heads of his family members. Then he worshipped all those great lords by offering them fragrant sandalwood paste, flower garlands, fine clothing and ornaments, incense lamps, agya and cows and bulls. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, Bahulashva, the king of Videha, was very intelligent and was a perfect gentleman. He was astonished that so many great sages, along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were personally present in his home. He knew perfectly well that the conditioned soul, especially when engaged in worldly affairs, cannot be 100% pure, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotees are always transcendental to worldly contamination. Therefore, when he found that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and all the great sages were at his home, he was astonished, and he began to thank Lord Krishna for his causeless mercy. The word Ishvara in this verse refers not only to the Supreme Lord, but also to the exalted sages in his company. This is confirmed by Acharya Sridhar Swami and Vishwanath Chakravarti. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gunanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmahe Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Maheyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Karim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that when Krishna came to visit Shrutadev and Bahalasva, then both of them welcomed Krishna and the sages and invited them to their residence. And Krishna agreed to come to each place. But each was thinking how fortunate they were to have Krishna come and visit them, but they were also thinking how unfortunate the other was in not having Krishna's darshan, visit. And so there were actually two manifestations of each of the king and brahmana, because there was Shrutadev, who was welcoming Krishna, but then there was also the Shrutadev who didn't have Krishna's association and who was also manifest lamenting the fact that Krishna didn't come. And then there was Bahalasva, who was welcoming Krishna and the sages, And then in contraposition, if you like, in juxtaposition to the Brahmanas engaging, the king engaging, there was Shrutadev lamenting. So you both had Shrutadev and the king in two situations. One welcoming Krishna and the other one in lamentation because Krishna hadn't come to his house. Well, to speak of the fact that Krishna and the sages had expanded in two places. And were being welcomed very graciously and very respectfully and very enthusiastically. So here we have the description of Bahuvalasva, the descendant of Janaka. When he saw Krishna coming to his house, then he was immediately enthusiastic and made sure that there were seats of honour for every one of them. You know, and you see this, in reading this, it reminds me of the wedding ceremony, actually, when a groom is greeted by the family of the bride, because basically in a Vedic, in a traditional wedding, the groom's family is coming to take the bride back to their house, to their family. The bride leaves her paternal home and then goes and resides with the family of the groom. In all intents and purposes, she's actually leaving her parents and going to become part of the family of the groom. So when the groom comes, then as part of the ceremony, then he's given a seat. He's made to feel very comfortable, very welcome. He's given a garland. His feet are washed. He's given a new set of clothes. And you can see that here. This is a very traditional mode of reception in Vedic culture. When a saintly person or an important personality, of course, you know, in a wedding the groom is an important personality. He may not be very saintly, but at least for that occasion he's important. So therefore that's part of the humour, I think, of a wedding. He's important, at least for that moment. Huh? And they say of the queen for a day, servant for a lifetime. Huh? King for a day also, and servant for a lifetime, basically. But anyway, the mode of reception is what's important. Especially when one is greeting saintly persons, elevated devotees, certainly Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are not just rituals, but they actually have a purpose. And especially in dealing with the sadhus and saintly personalities, the wise, the intelligent devotees, and Bahuvalasva is demonstrating this, are very keen to properly respect and honour and greet the guests, even their unannounced guests, because by properly receiving the guests, especially saintly persons, one can be, one's life can be greatly enhanced. One can become blessed by that proper reception. So, you know, a proper seat is given, a welcome, a garland, foot bathing, clean clothes, a meal. And you know, it looks like they've been travelling. Looks like jet lag was even a problem in these days also, right? They've been travelling very fast. And so I was talking to one of my friends some months ago. He said, even if you travel first class, the jet lag still gets you. So here, they're fatigued from their journey, even though they've been travelling in comfort in Krishna's chariot. It's better than first class. Right? And at the speeds greater than the wind, so they've really been travelling very swiftly to get to their location, but they're fatigued. So, you know, a bed is offered or a resting place is offered, and then the sadhus and saintly persons, Krishna, being made to be feel very welcome. And, of course, because Bahalasva and Srutadeva are very great devotees, they know the benefit of doing that, the benefit of making the saintly persons very comfortable and well-received, means then that they will be inclined then to give transcendental knowledge, speak on transcendental knowledge, and give their blessings. Because that's the blessings of the devotees, in one sense. That they will speak on topics in relationship to devotional service and how to make advancement. So here Bahalasva, he's very enthusiastic about this because he understands, I'm a householder and caught up in worldly affairs. And ordinarily, the saintly persons don't visit people like me. Just like we saw the other day, the sages were reluctant to actually even get on Krishna's chariot because it's not appropriate for the sannyasis and the renunciates to travel in such opulent situation. So for the kings, worldly persons involved in worldly affairs, then to have the sadhus and saintly persons visit is a rarity. Because they're visiting because Bahalasva is a very exalted devotee. But ordinarily, you know, for the materialistic persons, that kind of association is rare. Just like it's mentioned in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, how Sukadeva Goswami, was it Sukadeva Goswami, would just visit the householders just at the time of, or Prabhupada mentions, I think, in one of the purports. The householders would milk the cows at a certain time. And so the sadhus would go to their house just at that time just to beg a little milk, a little sustenance. So, you know, the elevated and saintly householders understand the benefit and the value of that association. Because by that association, one can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And for somebody like Bahalasva, that's of prime importance. You know, ordinarily, grihasthas are concerned, householders are concerned with making money, advancing their economic opportunities, economic development, you know, and they're concerned about the welfare of their family. A natural and proper responsibility. But what can happen is that the householders can become too absorbed in these things. So they become the prime meditation. And of course the problem with that is, as we are taught, that by becoming too absorbed in material affairs, then one gets so caught up that one simply prolongs one's existence in the material world. Whereas we see with the Vedic culture is designed in such a way so that Householder, ashram is just a portion of your existence. And that's why, you know, in the beginning, the proper training is there for the brahmacharis in austerity, study of the Vedas, sense control, performance of sacrifice, all of these very spiritually focused activities are then are meant to counter, or yeah, to counterbalance basically, the stage of householder life where one necessarily will get caught up affairs of responsibility, management, you know, diplomacy, business. You know, it brings all sorts of things come along with that. Cheating, right? You're a businessman. For you, I make no profit, etc. Prabhupada explains these things. That's why the Varnashram system's there, actually. So basically, one progresses. It's inevitable that most of society will become householders. It's just that's the way things are. And the danger is always there to get too caught up in these things and at the risk of losing one's advancement in spiritual life. Of course, Krishna mentions there is no loss on the path of devotional service. Nihamakra, what is it? Kramanasosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So little progress is of great benefit. But it's easy to get distracted and diverted. Detour, you know, detour this way and then take a long detour. So the benefit, and you know we can see the benefit of saintly association. The example of Narada Muni is an example. You know, he's a good example. Narada Muni wasn't born in a particularly elevated family situation. He was the son of a maidservant who was had the good fortune of serving the Bhaktivedantas, the saintly persons. And as a result of that association, Narada Muni was just a very, very young boy. But he would hear that they were staying in one place because it's Chaturmasya, performing austerities. Obviously, they're devotees, engaged in devotional service, so they've got their regular activities. They're discussing the Bhagavatam, taking prasadam, having kirtan, whatever. And Narada Muni, as a young boy, then got their association. And because he was of a sober kind of bent, he was not mischievously playful young boy, because he had somewhat of a sober character, then in the association of those devotees, naturally he was engaged in devotional service and got a taste for that activity, especially hearing and chanting. This is where we get the taste for devotional service. And because it's actually pleasing to Krishna, Matkata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tusyanti cha ramanti cha. So this is the the beginning of devotional service, if you like, is in the association of the devotees. We hear and chant about devotional topics, and that's inspiring for us. Even we can be hearing from even a neophyte devotee, and if we're listening carefully to their realizations, we can be inspired. No? Each one of us has some realization of how we've been elevated and can advance our devotional service and become enthused by Krishna conscious activities. It's a good habit to sit in the Bhagavatam class and try to hear at least one inspirational thing from the devotees who are speaking. Better to stay awake for the whole class or be focused on what, you know, people are saying all the way through. But if you can't, at least try to... Well, sometimes, you know, you can get into the mood of thinking, oh, I've already heard Bhagavatam class from this devotee for the last 10 years. Or, you know, longer. I've already heard what this fellow's got to say. I've heard it all before. And so, you know, fall asleep. But actually, if that happens, it's not a bad exercise to then deliberately, you know, keep oneself and try to hear something positive. Just try to hear something positive, even if you've heard it before. And then meditate on that. Meditate on that instruction. Even if the person may not be a perfect example of what they're saying. Sometimes that happens. Even if they're not a perfect example of what they're teaching. At least take the essence of the instruction. This is one of the qualities of a devotee. They're able to take the good out of anything that anybody does, basically, and see that in a positive light, and see that in a way that it's connected to Krishna. So, the hearing of the Bhagavatam, or hearing of the discussions of the topics related to Krishna, very powerful. Very, very powerful panacea for material ills, basically, for material existence. Hearing about Krishna. And so Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Matschita, the devotees think of me. Matgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. They engage their energies in serving me. Their intelligence and thinking about how to engage in devotional service. And they like to discuss topics about me. Katayantascha mamnicham tusyanticha ramanticha. And they become satisfied by those activities, satiated by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And it was interesting, I mentioned this the other day, but just reading in the first chapter of the Adi Leela. And Prabhupada was making this point that it's not so much that we're gathering knowledge as such, I mentioned this point, but that this activity is actually pleasing to Krishna. And then because it's pleasing to Krishna, then Krishna, and because the devotees engage in those activities that are pleasing to him, then he blesses them with transcendental knowledge, with realization. So Balasva and Srutadev understand the importance of welcoming the sadhus and making them comfortable. Of course, Krishna's there also. Making Krishna and the devotees happy and satisfied, because when Krishna and the devotees are satisfied, then the devotee automatically will be endowed with transcendental knowledge, with spiritual understanding. He himself will become satisfied. And you see that. You can see that in the activities of a devotee. The devotees are very happy to be engaged in devotional service. Satisfied. You know, sometimes it happens that we work hard to maintain a temple. And then people come along and say, well, you're working too hard, why don't you take it easy? Just relax. You know, you need a holiday. And the devotee's saying, what's wrong with you? I like doing this. If I'm taken away from this activity, then what will I have to do? What will I do? Of course, not that we shouldn't, you know, not that we shouldn't exhaust ourselves to the point where we can't do anything and, you know, we do have to have a holiday. But rather, the point is that the devotees are actually happy to be engaged in Krishna's service. And even the suggestion of, well, why don't you take it easy, is not pleasing to them, because that's their satisfaction. They're enthusiastic. and satisfied by being engaged in devotional service. And to not be engaged in devotional service is anathema. It's against their inner principles, their inner inclination. Mahalashva was so happy to see the Krishna and Narada Muni and Vyasadev and Atri and Chayavana Muni and these very elevated and exalted saints coming to his house. He was crying. He was so happy to see them coming that his eyes were clouded with tears. You can imagine his voice would have been choking up, and he would have been, he was in ecstasy, basically. He offered his obeisances. What is it here? Natva, bowing down. Natva. Gave them a seat, washed their feet. Then he took the water from the foot bathing, and these are traditional ceremonies. Inspiring, actually. So, in that way, he greeted Krishna and the saintly persons, and then respectfully offered prayers and was prepared to serve them. So does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? They expanded themselves also, and there was, you know, Shrutadev, who was missing Krishna's association because he was visiting Bahalashva, was manifesting symptoms of separation from Krishna. So that's what his neighbours saw. They must have, because they were in two places. They were because they were visiting Bahalashva. He was visiting Bahalashva and Shrutadev. Now, don't ask me to explain how that happened. But that's what Vishwanath Chakravarti... It's not written here, it's not mentioned here, but that's what it's explained in the... Oh no, Krishna didn't come and visit me. Actually, he was visiting him. Yeah. So this is one of the reasons why we need to, you know, whenever our guests come, we should be attentive to their needs and look after them, look after the saintly persons. Even other guests, look after them in a nice, respectful, accommodating way. That then ensures that the guests are endeared to the host, and so they'll want to reciprocate. It's interesting, you know, even in how this culture manifests, even like in a situation with Ramchandrapuri. Ramchandrapuri was a bit of a fault finder and a critic, and the devotees didn't like him, especially because, you know, his criticism of Lord Chaitanya, you know, he wasn't bashful about criticising people. So, you know, he criticised Lord Chaitanya, and the devotees didn't like it, because Lord Chaitanya cut down his eating by half, and they just didn't like that, that, you know, they couldn't properly serve the Lord. And but yet Lord Chaitanya still was respectful to, and he told the devotees, no, be respectful to him. And honour the saintly critic. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I was just wondering, where did all the sages appear besides Matamuni when Lord Krishna went to Narayana's?
Yeah.
I can understand how
they were already there with him. No, they were travelling with him on the chariot. They came from Dwarka. They were visiting Dwarka, it seems. And then when Krishna decided to travel to see his two devotees, then the sages were, I think it mentions here actually, they were invited to come along. And they were going to walk. But Krishna said, no, hop in the chariot. I'll take you for a spin. We'll go for a trip to the Mithila. So they came with Krishna. And as I mentioned here, Ishvaran, the lords, they were all there present. And it's interesting because, you see, you know, the saintly persons, they're described here as being Ishvara. And I was just thinking about this point, Ishvara. Ishvara doesn't necessarily mean that they're the supreme controller necessarily, but certainly Ishvara in the sense that the devotees are the controllers of the mind and the senses. You know, they're Ishvara in that sense. Especially the sadhus, saintly persons, they're equipoise, sober, dhira, and so therefore they can be recognized as Ishvara. And then as a result they're given the same respect as Krishna. Krishna is the Yogeshvara, he is the master of all mystics, and so when all of these other mystics are travelling with Krishna, then they're all honoured as Ishvara. Interesting. Any other comments? Questions? Realisations? Complaints? Okay, pretty straightforward. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.